Okay, let's get into Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis. As we had a haschala yesterday, we started our discussion, and we had the birth of Shmuel Hanavi. We spoke all about the uniqueness of the personality of Shmuel, as we will see over the next couple of prakim. But he is the transitionary figure from Sefer Shoftim to Sefer Shmuel. And yesterday we learned about Chana, his mother, one of the seven prophetesses, one of the seven Nevios. She davened for him, she finally had him, and right when he was 2 years old, she gave him up. She gave him up as a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a Levi in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where we ended up, that she was taking leave of her son. But now in Perek Beis, the first 10 psukim of Perek Beis is a continuation of that. It is Shiras Chana. We know there were a few beautiful songs in Tanakh, the most famous being Az Yashir. The second most famous is Shiras Devora, which we discussed in Sefer Shoftim. And here we have another one. Shiras Chana. Chana sings and how awesome she feels and how amazing she connects with God after having the birth of a son. We'll go through some of her song. Most of the song is all about what's here today does not mean it's going to be here tomorrow. Who's poor today might be rich tomorrow, vice versa. Whatever state one is in today does not mean anything about tomorrow. And that's what she says. I was in such a state previously. I had no children. My co-wife had 10 children. And all of a sudden, I am on top of the world with the greatest son in the time period. So that is the first 10 psukim. After that, we then get back to the actual story of Eli. We know Eli was the Kohen Gadol at this time. We'll talk about how he became the Kohen Gadol. Eli is told by the Navi that his sons are evil, and he has to try to get them to shape up. They do not listen to him. It's a little too late. They steal karbanos meat. They commit other crimes in the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, the Navi goes on to describe that the kahuna will be taken away from Eli and his family. His sons will be punished. And even though Eli is very old, he seems to be held accountable somewhat for what occurred to his sons. All at the same time, the Navi, a number of times in this parak, keeps contrasting. And Shmuel was an amazing tzaddik, and he was serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. It keeps going back and forth from Eli's sons to Shmuel, from Eli's sons to Shmuel, as if to say Shmuel, who was very, very young at the time. He was only 2 years old when he started. He's a very little child, but he was already obviously very precocious, and he is not learning anything from his surroundings. He is just learning from Eli how to be the best Levi and servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he could be. His mother gives him a special coat, as we'll talk about, and at the end of the parak, we already have the curse that is given by the Ish Elokim, by the Navi, to Eli, that his sons will be killed on the same day, and you will take that as a sign that everything I'm saying is true. Eventually, the kahuna will be taken away from your house, the house of Eli. That's where the parak ends. And then, in the next parak, we get into Shmuel coming onto the scene. This parak is more about the contrast. Okay, so let's now get back to the beginning. Parak Beis here in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Vatispalel chana vatomar. So already the first word in the parak is interesting. If this is called a song, why does it say vatispalel? By the other shiros, it calls it a song. Az Yashir Moshe. And here it says chana davind vatispalel. So the Mefarshim point out that a major element of prayer is praise. We know that davening every day, according to many Rishonim, according to the Rambam, is a mitzvah daraisa. All the details of davening are derabanan. But the concept of davening every single day is a mitzvah daraisa. But there's one idea that's daraisa, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Tefila, and that's the structure. Shevach Bakasha Hodah. Starting with praising God, then asking Him for things, and then thanking Him. But the first step in prayer is always acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though it starts off with Vatis Palel, and then it goes into song, but that's the point. Because a major element of tefillah is just that, is song. And that's what she does. She praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the tefillah that she does. Right? This tefillah only has praise. Usually it's Shevach Bakasha and Hodah, but she already had the Bakasha. Right? So now she is doing the Shevach. Some suggest that this was the her song that she sings here, which was divinely inspired, right? This might have been the beginning of her nevuah. We mentioned yesterday, the Gemara says in Megillah, there were seven nevios, one of them was Chana. We don't find earlier, before this time, that she had any nevuah. This could be, the beginning of her nevuah. So, what does she say? Vatispalel Chana, Vatomar. Alas libi b'Hashem, ramak karni b'Hashem. My heart has been raised up. My heart is in exaltation. Ramak karni, my keren, has been raised up. Chazal darshan from there, an allusion to her son Shmuel, who will anoint the first kings of Israel with a keren, with a horn, with oil poured on their head. Karni, Hashem has lifted up my keren. Rachav pi al oivai, my mouth has been widened over my enemies. Rashi says this is referring to Penina, who tortured her, even though we mentioned yesterday it was L'shem Shamayim. The co-wife made fun of her, but Chana says, Hashem answered my tefillos ki simach samachti bishuasecha. I am happy in your salvation. And now she goes, Ein kadosh kashem ki ein voltecha. There is no one holy like you. Ve'ein sur ki elokeinu, etc. What are all these? It sounds like just general praise. Two notes. Number one, the Targum Yonasan on this pasuk goes through that every phrase in this song is, where's the Targum? Every phrase in the song is a reference to something an event in the future. The Targum says, starts off. The beginning, Al Sancherev Malka, Da'atur Isnabis. One phrase is referring to what happens with Sancherev, the king of Ashur, when he's surrounding Yerushalayim, and the next morning his 100,000 soldiers are found dead. And then it's also referring to the Hanukkah story, and it's referring to Nebuchadnezzar Malka de Bavel. If you go through the Targum here on the Pasuk, every phrase of Chana is really a Nevuah. It's a nevuah, and that's how Chazal know that she is prophesizing. But a fascinating suggestion also that is made by the Yalkut is that this praise is alluding to Shmona Esrei. Every phrase is another bracha. Start from the beginning. Ein kadosh kashem. That's atah kadosh. And then we start with the beginning. Rama karni b'Hashem. Right, Hashem has lifted me up. That's Magen Abraham. Hashem meimisu mechayeh. That's Tchias HaMeisim, we'll get to. Ein Kadosh Kashem, Hakel HaKadosh. We'll get to, there's not an exact order. Kel Deos Hashem, that's Chonin Adas. Nechshalim Azru Chayo, Morit Shaol, goes through each one. Samachti Bishuasech, Azgal Yisrael, Mekibi Me'afardol, Azrofei Choli, Amo Yisrael. Without going through all of them, the Yalkut suggests that every phrase here is about Tefillah, which is fascinating in that we know yesterday that Chana is the source for a number of halachas of Tefillah, as we know in Maseches Brachos. So here's another, the first allusion that we have to Shmona Esrei in Tanakh is here in Sefer Shmuel, Chana's song. So, Ein Kadosh Kashem Ki Ein Baltecha, so it's a nevuah, or it's a remez to Shmona Esrei. There is no one as holy as God. Kadosh Kashem. Kadosh, we know, means separated. What does holy mean? It means separated. Kadoshim to you means prushim to you. So we acknowledge that Hashem is different. Ata Kadosh v'shimcha Kadosh. Right? You are different, you are separated. There is no rock like you, God. Chazal have a beautiful interpretation of Ein Sur Kelokeinu. You could also read this as Ein Sayar Kelokeinu. There is no artist as amazing as God. What does that mean? Says the Gemara in Brachos and in Megillah, Daf Yudalid, Ein Sayar Kelokeinu. Adam Sartzura Al Gabi Kosel. Usually an artist draws a picture and it's just a picture. What is it? You can't make it alive. You can't give it life. You can't give it intestines. You can't give it a body. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem makes something. What does Hashem do? How is he an artist? By a child. Hashem makes something and he gives it a neshama. And he gives it life and he gives it the senses. He makes it alive. There's no artist like God. Anything else created in life doesn't have life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate artist in terms of giving life to a human being. So that's alluded to in the Ein Sur Kelokeinu, Ein Sayar Kelokeinu. And then Chana continues, Atarbu Tavadabru Gavoa Gavoa, don't be such a Balgaiva. Don't hold yourself so high. I mean, Chana says, I was very low and Hashem raised me up. Anybody who's very high, eventually is going to come down. Hashem knows what's inside everyone. As we mentioned, by the way, this is a continuation of Perek Aleph. This is all the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, this is the Haftorah. Again, it's something to think about. On Rosh Hashanah, recognizing that what's here today might be here tomorrow. And that's also not just that Chana was remembered and Shmuel was born on Rosh Hashanah, but that this the content of her song has a lot to do with the fickleness of life and recognizing that everything is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She continues, and Keshes Giborim Chatim, the sword of the strong, will be broken, says the Radak. This is all a reference to the long gullus of Klal Yisrael. There will come a time when the swords of all of those who want to kill us will be broken, and Gog u'Magog will be taken care of, and Mashiach will come. Teshuas Yisrael b'shuvenu la'artzeinu b'meirav yameinu, says the Radak. It's referring to the ultimate redemption. And then here she has the contrasts. Sveim balechem niskaru, those who are satiated with bread will have to be hired out to get money for bread. Re'evim chadelu, those who are hungry will stop because they'll have enough bread. Ad akara yalda shiva, a barren woman will have 7 children. Well, who's that referring to? Chazal say herself. What do you mean herself? It says later on that Shmuel has 5 siblings. That's still a problem. 5 + 1 = 6. It says here she has 7. So Chazal say, either Shmuel is Gematria Shiva, Shmuel is Gematria 7, 7 is always a very special number in Yadus. Shabbos, Shemitah, Yovel, 7 is always very special. And Yolda, that's number 1. Or, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, which Bezrim will talk about in a couple of Prakim, we say it every Friday night, Shmuel is compared to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Karei Shemo. So Shmuel can be counted as like 2, so 5 + 2 = 7. There are the Mefarshim explain both of those. But she says, I was an Akara, I was barren, and now look, I have so many children. V'Rabas Banim, and someone who had many children, Umlala, is now forsaken and is now bereft of her children. What does that mean? Rashi quotes the difficult Chazal, that every time Chana had a child, Penina lost 2 of her children. Remember, she started with 10. Chana has 1, Penina has 8. Chana has 2, Penina has 6. Chana has 3, Penina has 4. She keeps going. Finally, she has 2 left. Right before Chana has the next baby, Penina pleads with her, please, 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 you can't do this to me. And it stopped. Remember, we said Penina was L'Shem Shamayim. She made fun of her yesterday, but we see what happens when there's, as we explained yesterday from Rechayim Shvalevitz, in terms of the pain putting a fellow Jew into, even if it's L'Shem Shamayim. And we continue, Hashem may misu mechayeh, Hashem does tchiyas ha-meisim morid sha'ol v'ya'al. This is an amazing ha'ara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that this phrase of Hashem may misu mechayeh is referring to the children of Korach, that Chana was davening that the children of Korach should get a chelik in Olam Haba. And the question is, why? What does Chana have to do with the B'nai Korach that they should get a chelik in Olam Haba? So I saw in the Mishpat Zav, he suggests that, remember, what did Korach see in the future? We mentioned Rashi yesterday from Parshas Korach. Korach saw that his great-great-great-grandson was going to be Shmuel. So he thinks to himself, I must be awesome. I must be great. I'm able to fight Moshe because I'm going to have a Shmuel. He didn't realize that, no, he's not so great. Shmuel's going to be great. But in a certain sense, Shmuel, not for his own fault, misled Korach. And therefore, Chana, the mother of Shmuel, davens that the B'nai Korach should be taken and given a portion in Olam Haba. Because of this. Obviously, it's not Shmuel's fault, but it's an amazing way to look at it that she sees this with her nevuah, and she davens for them. Hashem morishu mashir, mashpil achmer omeim. Continuing, Hashem makes poor, Hashem makes rich. He lowers, he raises up. Mekim me'afar dal. He does puts everybody in the state that he chooses. Let's go to the last pasuk in the song. V'yitain oz l'malko. He gives strength to his malchus, either referring to Hashem's own malchus, or referring to what's going to be in the future, the malchus of Beis David, or even Shaul before, the Yarm Keren Mishicho, and he will lift up the horn of his anointed one. The Radak says this is either a nevuah or it's a misora that they had, that this was going to be the case, that her son was going to anoint the kings. Part 1 of the parak. Now we get to part 2, the story part. So Elkanah, remember Elkanah, the father of Shmuel, was home. V'hanar hayeh mishareis es Hashem es pnei Eli haKohen. And Shmuel was servicing Eli. The pasuk says he was servicing Hashem and Eli. Chazal darshan from there that if you service a Talmud Chacham, it's like you're servicing Hashem. Because Shmuel was serving Eli. But it says he was servicing Es Hashem, Es Pnei Eli HaKohen. Rashi quotes, if I hang out with the Talmid Chacham, it's like I'm hanging out with God. And that's how do you get close to Hashem? Hanging out with Talmidei Chachamim. That's what we have to do. But, so Eli is the Kohen Gadol. Just to note, why was Eli the Kohen Gadol? Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes this in Pasuk Lamed, that we know, who was the first Kohen Gadol? Aaron a Kohen. Who was next? Elazar a Kohen. Who was next? Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar, Pinchas was the Kohen Gadol in Sefer Shoftim, in Sefer Yoshua. Where's Pinchas? What happened to him? So explain Chazal, by Pilegesh Begiva and Pesel Micha, because of those all those incidents in Sefer Shoftim, the Kohuna was taken away from them, and it was given to a different descendant of Aaron. Pinchas came from Elazar. Eli came from Itamar, another son of Aaron, and therefore it was taken away and given to Eli. And Eli had it. Where does Eli come from? All of a sudden he's here. And by the way, he was the leader. He was an amazing person. If you look at the Rambam in his introduction to Mishneh Torah, he lists off the leaders of the Jewish people from Moshe all the way till Ravina and Ravashi, the people who closed the Gemara. So the whole line, Eli's in that list. That means he's pretty amazing. The Rambam says, Moshe, Yehoshua, Zekanim Upinchas, Eli, Shmuel, David, Achia. He goes through all of them. Elio, Elisha, Yehoyada, Zechariah, Hoshea, Amos, Yeshayo, Micha, Yoel, Nachum. Goes through all of them. But Eli's on that list. So he was the Baal HaMesorah. He was an amazing person. And that's what he was given. But it didn't matter. It did not stay in his family in that his children, his sons, did not act properly in the Beis HaMikdash, a terrible Chil Hashem, which we'll get into right now. What did they do? Ubnei Eli b'nei Bilya'al. That is a strong lashon. B'nei Bilya'al means people, but literally, it's translated as wicked people, but literally it's Bili'ol, without an ol, without a burden on them, meaning they do whatever they wanted. They were hefker. They did whatever they wanted. Specifically, the Pasuk describes in the area of Karbanos. They were Kohanim, but they used to take much more meat than they were entitled to. The Abarbanel here catalogs five different sins that they did. We won't go through all of them, but the Pesukim say they took more meat than they were supposed to, and they also ate the meat before they were allowed to. You had to wait till the fats were burned on the Mizbeach. They didn't wait for that. They jumped the gun, and they did whatever they wanted. They also, the Pasuk describes, Vadhi chatasan arim gedola ma'od es p'nei Hashem. It was terrible. Ki niyatsu anan Hashem. They made disgusting the karbanos. They left them out. They ate them when they weren't. They made the whole avodas hamishkan in Shiloh hefker. No rules. Do whatever you want. And that's not exactly what is meant to be. And contrast that to the next Pasuk, Pasuk Yudches. Vishmu Ushmuel Mishareis es Panei Hashem. Right, this comes up twice. And Shmuel, he's serving God. The Radak says he didn't learn from their actions. Nar Chagur Eifod Bad, he had a special apron on. And then, interestingly, the Pasuk says, Umi'il Katon Tas Elohimo. Chana made him a special little coat. Special little coat. Vahal Tolo Miyamim Yamima. She brought it up to him every year. She didn't want him to have it the whole year and get it dirty. You know, he's a little kid. So every year when they came up for Yontif, she gave it to him. He used it. And then she took it back. And then she gave it to him again. What type of special coat is this? Some type of special coat. The Yalkut says this coat stayed with him his entire life. His entire life. Where do we see that it stayed his entire life? The Yalkut says, and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz quotes this Yalkut in the third Maimar. In the new edition of Sichos Moser, he quotes that later on in this sefer, we're going to get to all the way at the end, right before Shaul dies, after Shmuel has died, Shaul wanted to know if he would win the war, right? So he brings Shaul back up from the dead, and the witch recognizes when the witch helps Shaul bring him up from the dead. Oh my goodness, it's Shmuel! How did he know? How did she know that it was really Shmuel from the dead? The language used in the pasuk there is. Ish zakein olev hu ote me'il. He was wearing that coat. That same me'il that his mother gave, it was with him in life. Ha-me'il bo gadal, bo nikbar, bo Allah. Says the Yalkut Shimoni right here on the Pasuk. What's the message of the coat? Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz there, a fascinating suggestion. You can have inanimate objects that get full of meaning, of feeling, of influence. He says, for example, the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to cut stones to use the Mizbeach. Why? Why can't you have cut stones to use for the Mizbeach? Because a knife is to shorten a person's life, and the Mizbeach is to lengthen a person's life. Okay, so what? So what does the stone have to do with a knife? The answer is, when I cut a stone with a knife, the stone is affected. Inanimate objects are affected. Chana put all of her kishkes into this little me'il. Right? She put her love, her tears, her service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this me'il, and that, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, is what gave Shmuel the power to be the leader who he was. To love Am Yisrael. To love everyone else because of that me'il that he had on. And that's what stayed, and that's what stayed with him, and that was the symbolism of this me'il. So she gave it to him every year, and every year she went up. Eli again gave her a bracha, she should have more children, and that's what the pasuk says, that she had five more children, three sons and two daughters. Good. The pasuk continues. Now we get to the end of the curse. The Eli Zakein Ma'od, pasuk Chavez. Eli is very old. What do you mean, very old? The Radak explains, usually there's no age limit on Kohanim. If you could do the Avoda, it doesn't matter how old you are. Levim have a limit, but Kohanim don't. So that's the ma'od here. It must be that he started shaking when he walked. He was very old, and if you can't do the avodah, if you're shaking, you're going to spill the blood. You're not going to do it properly. So he was very, very old. And what happens? Vishama, and he hears about all what his children are doing. And look at the pasuk. The Eis Asher Yishkavun Es Hanashim Hatzovos Pesach Olamoy. Literally, what does it mean? They lay, his sons lay with women at the doorway of the Olamoy. That's pretty serious. Were they all mezaneh? So maybe yes. That's the simple reading. Chazal tell us, though, it doesn't mean they actually did this. It meant that they didn't bring the karbanos that the women brought them on time. So they delayed the women going back to be with their husbands. And if a person prevents a husband and wife from being together, so that's not a good thing. And that's why the pasuk even terms it as yishkavun es hanashim. Again, not literal. It makes it very egregious. But it shouldn't be taken literally. Chazal tell us in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Hey, that's the Gemara that says, whoever says David sinned, whoever says Reuven sinned, whoever says Ben Eli sinned, meaning there was something wrong here, but it might not have been as wrong as the Pasuk determines. And again, that's a general discussion of how we look at biblical sins. Obviously, we have to learn from them, but we also have to realize that they were on a certain level, and any little sin that they did is obviously something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures. So either way, they sinned. And Vayomer Lahem Lo Matasum Kadavar Ma'ela. So Eli says to his sons, what are you doing? Why are you doing these? Albanai, Pasuk Chavdala, don't do this. I hear terrible things about you. And if you steal from somebody, fine, you can pay them back, but you're stealing from God here. How are you going to do tshuva for that? And the pasuk says they didn't listen. Why? Four words. Because Hashem wanted to kill them. What does that mean? So the Radak quotes the Rambam that we're familiar with. The Rambam says sometimes a person can be so wicked that Hashem removes his power to do tshuva, like Paro, like other few people in history. So this is one of them. This is one of them, says the Radak. The Chiddush is that the Rambam himself quotes three or four examples in Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Vav. He doesn't quote this one. So ki chavez Hashem la'amisam might mean, like the Rambam says and the Radak says, but it also might mean that they're so bad, and this is where Hashem kind of knew that this is where they're heading. He maybe didn't give them special siyata d'shmaya to do tshuva. Because the Rambam does not quote, this is a mefurish pasuk. The Rambam should have quoted this in Hilchos Tshuva. But he doesn't. But either way, they didn't listen. And again, the pasuk says, Vahanar Shmuel holech v'gadel v'tov. Shmuel keeps growing. Gamim Hashem v'gamim anashim. Both with Hashem and with man. Next, last section of the parak. Vayavo ish Elokim el Eli. The man of God. Who's the man of God? Elkanah. Man of God comes to Eli, Rashi quotes, and he says, I have a long history with your family, with Aaron, with Moshe. I have a long history. Well, still, Aaron is his great-great-great-grandfather, and I've appeared, and I'm going to, your family, you're to blame. You and your kids. Interestingly, they fault Eli here. Maybe the proper chinuch wasn't done. He didn't watch over them as well. But either way, a terrible onesh is inflicted. Hine yamim ba'im, the Ish Elokim Elkanah says, the kahuna will be taken away from you. Your family will have a midah about them that they won't live long lives. The Gemara says that Abaya and Rabba were both from Eli. they were able to extend their lives because they did chesed and learned a lot of Torah. But inherently, they were from Beis Eli, the Gemara says. And therefore, that's this gzeira. This is the gzeira. And the way that you will know that this gzeira will occur, the Ish Elokim ends off by saying that your two sons will die the same day. And eventually, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vakimosi Li Kohen Ne'eman. I will bring on, make a different Kohen Gadol. Which Kohen Gadol will I create? I'll create a Kohen Gadol after the entire house of Eli dies out. Rashi and Radak quote, this is referring to Tzadok. Tzadok is much further in history in Malachim Aleph, in Perek Beis, where finally then the last vestige of Eli's family dies out, and Tzadok takes over, and the curse is ultimately fulfilled. And this is where it ends off, where he says, your family's even going to have to beg for bread, and Eli should just know that the end is near. That's where the parak ends, setting the stage for Shmuel to come onto the scene as being the main player for the next 20 prakim, starting with the next parak. Okay, we'll stop here.